Thomas Edison once said, to invent something, you need a good imagination and a pile of junk. Sometimes a bit of brute force doesn't go amiss either.
In Scrap Heap, our teams have till nightfall to build spectacular machines, all from what they find in these piles of scrap. So far in the series, it's 1-0 to the orange team, so the yellow team will be doing everything they can this week to even up the score. So first up for the yellow team is their captain, Major Dick Strawbridge.
I'm Dick, I'm a major in the army, I invent things in my spare time, and the yellow team don't like coming second.
And his foot soldiers, Callie Munro.
Hi, my name is Callie. I was born in Hong Kong. I was taught mechanics in Canada, and I learned hairstyling from my dog.
And Dave Price.
Hi, I'm Dave. When I'm not being a design engineer, I do a bit of amateur dramatics, and I've been in a couple of musicals. Problem is, I can't remember the lines, and I can't really sing.
And this week, the Yellow Team's special guest is John Kilgour.
My name is John. I teach farm machine design of tractors and harvesting machines. My grandson thinks I'm a mad inventor because I like making things.
And our regulars for the orange team, Captain Anne Saunders.
I'm Anne, I'm a hovercraft fanatic. I got 15th in the world last year. And last week, the orange team started as we mean to continue.
And our crewmate, Bowser Munson.
I'm Bowser, I'm a policeman. And if I'm knee-deep in engine parts and power tools, then I'm a happy bunny.
And Shen Chu.
I'm Shen. And I'm a structural engineer, and I design bridges and buildings.
And the special guest for the Oranges this week is Mark Pacey.
Hi, I'm Mark from Northampton. I'm a haulage contractor, and I also enjoy inverted bungee jumping.
Gather around, my little tin heads. Your challenge today is to build a machine that is capable of winning a head-to-head tug of war. We're talking power puller. We're talking big, we're talking noisy, we're talking extremely aggressive. Because later on tonight, we're going to chain those two power pullers together and have a head-to-head tug of war. Now, you can build a machine that weighs anything up to 1 ton. But other than that, the world's your oyster. The bigger, the more powerful, the more noisy, the better. Now, you have until the sun drops out of the sky, which is at about 9:05 tonight, which gives you roughly 10 hours. So I suggest you hop to it.
You're joking.
Your heep-o. Right, John, first things first, what is a power puller?
A power puller, it has a big engine, the biggest engine you can find, driving an axle, big wheels, bet this big, and the thing's about 1.7, 2 metres long.
Big engine.
Right, chap, what we want is a big engine.
Big engine.
Yeah.
We can get more than one, can't we?
Yeah. Rear axle. Complete.
Oh, yeah.
Wheels.
Big wheels.
Power pulling. I wonder what that's all about, then. Let's have a look.
Power pulling, or tractor pulling as it's sometimes called, began as a sport in this country around 20 years ago, having originated in Canada. The idea is not terribly sophisticated. Contestants build a huge tractor, the more outlandish looking the better, and compete to see who can lug the heaviest weight. As in boxing or wrestling, there are different weight and power classes. In the top unlimited class, tractors can be up to an astonishing 14,000 horsepower, the equivalent of 250 minis all pulling together. In these contests, the machines are pulling specially weighted trucks, but in our contest, the two teams will be pulling against each other in an almighty tug of war.
What about some kind of bulldozer blade type thing to dig in the ground to act as a brake so they can't pull us backwards?
Yeah. If we can get them away from the start, they won't stand a chance anyway.
So what you need is to get the axle first, find the engine and the axle, and then bring the axle back. We can work on the axle, then you can be struggling with the engine.
Right.
Because if you can't, if you're not struggling with it, it's not big enough.
Yeah.
As usual, the teams are allowed to use whatever they can find on the scrap heap. The pressure's on for the team scavengers this week, as without a few key things, I'm thinking engines and wheels might be useful here, the teams could struggle to get off the start post.
Callie, if you can get any very solid box, sort of 100 by 50, that would be very useful. And we're also interested in more angle iron, obviously, so we can weld from hell, yeah?
Oh, sure, sweetheart. Let me just shop around, OK?
The two team scavengers stay in radio contact with the captains and experts back at base who work on their designs.
It's got you want to find two sprockets and a bit of chain for the coupling.
Yeah.
Then you've got the axle here, like this, and the wheels are like this. And this is fixed on a frame.
A power puller is really a tractor designed to maximise pulling force. To make one, the first thing the teams will need is a big engine. This will have to be set in a jolly sturdy chassis, which they'll probably have to build from scratch. They'll need a chunky axle at the back for two big tractor wheels to drive the machine. At the front, they'll need one, or more usually two, much smaller wheels, which are really just for manoeuvring. Steering and braking are normally done in one fell swoop. Independent foot brakes on each back wheel are used together to brake, or one at a time to steer.
We've got a couple of fundamental things. We don't know what engine we're going to get.
No.
One second. Was that for me, Callie?
Tell me, darling, sweetie.
Yeah, what do you find? Talk.
I have just found the mother of all engines. It's huge.
This thing is massive. It's a V8 gearbox, the lot. Brilliant. Yeah, we're just going to be about 10 hours shifting it down to you, I think.
Has it got electrics on it?
Yeah, it's complete.
Right, that's it.
That sounds like the business.
Callie and Dave's engine is a 164 horsepower 8-cylinder Rover engine, one of the biggest car engines around.
Honey, grab the back seat. Okay.
Callie and Dave aren't the only ones struggling with the mother of all engines. Shen and Bowser have just laid their hands on her little sister.
Look, make sure you don't lift anything which is going to break.
The engine they've found is called a V6, which means it has six cylinders arranged in a V formation. It weighs around 300 kilograms, so even the mighty Bowser needs a bit of help to lift it.
If we can find another axle easily, there's a brake shot on that one.
Do we need brakes?
Well,
a brake's not for Jess.
You need a handbrake.
What is it? What stud pattern have we got?
It's a Ford V6, out of a Granada or something like that.
What else do we need?
We need some wheels.
Some
we
wheels?
We desperately need some wheels.
Hey, Bowser, have you got a big wheel for us?
You know, a really, really big wheel.
I think that means no.
I guess that's a no.
This is ridiculous.
Bowser's an obsessive biker, and he's not used to being short of a set of wheels. But I think someone knows where they are.
Come on, roll like a wheel.
The yellow team are on a roll.
We really need some other wheels, though.
We haven't got any at the moment.
Okay.
We'll have to try and find some.
Yeah, keep looking then.
All right.
Okay.
So all we know by having these, they haven't got them. The orange team haven't got them, that's good.
Or you can give them to them.
Absolutely not. You've got get away, wrong attitude.
Well, we might be able to swap a bit of metal, you see. A
bit of metal, we'll find metal.
You
I'm
reckon?
Not giving away tyres.
And what engine is this?
It's a 3.5 litre V8.
It's a 3.5 litre.
Chunky.
Should be all right. It's a carburetor engine. Right. Must be out of a car. Rover car.
My wife's Morris Traveller. Yeah, my wife's Morris Traveller.
It'll make a Morris Traveller go well.
It would. And what sort of gearbox is that?
This would be a 4-speed in reverse.
Callie's laid her hands on the whole front end of a motorbike, which she hopes might give their power puller the wacky races touch by making it a 3-wheeler.
Do you want two tyres in the front or just one?
Oh, that's just right, like that. Just
that's
lovely.
Cool.
Yeah, that'll do fine.
Lovely
right. Job, dear. Let's see if that's very strong.
Oh, thank God. Because you just drove terrible getting here.
Right, all we need to do is to get that in there and cut bits off it.
Okay. So it's going to be fine, really?
Yeah, right, you steer it. You steer it. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Off we go.
You go, brother.
So the yellow team are planning on a single front wheel. That's fair enough. But a single back wheel, now that's a different matter.
A one-wheel power puller.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite have the same ring to it, does it?
No.
So, and you happy with this engine then? Is that what do you think, Mark? Is it all right?
Well, yeah, the thing with the V64, they're very torquey.
Right.
Very torquey.
Right, and that doesn't mean they say a lot, that means they've got a lot of torque.
That means they've got a lot of pull.
Lot of pull, right. And it's got, what sort of gearbox has it got? You said
it's an automatic out of a Granada.
Well, as usual in Scrap Heap, we get along someone who knows their onions to deliver a bit of expert opinion. This week, I dragged in Neil Davis, chairman of the Power Pulling Association. He's built loads of power pullers, including a jet-powered one, so he should be able to keep us on track.
It's looking good. I mean, we've got an engine, we've got an axle, we've got it laid out in the right sort of format, and over this side, we're even closer. We seem to have an engine, an axle, part of a chassis.
The only problem they have with all their equipment is they only have one wheel.
Yes, it's a bit worrying, this.
I don't think a unicycle is really going to be a big winner in the world of power pulling, is it?
It's not very easy to balance on one wheel.
The other thing I've noticed is we've got a V8 there and a V6 there. Now, is that? Sure. It feels to me like that they've got the big advantage there, having the bigger engine. Is that?
Well, maybe. The V8 is probably the more powerful. The only thing is they've got a manual gearbox. Over here, we've got a V6, which is a little bit less powerful, but they've got an automatic gearbox. Now, in pulling, the automatic gearbox will be a distinct advantage.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, it turns out
the manual gearbox has a clutch, and the clutch is a difficult thing to engage smoothly and with a lot of power without overheating it.
Ready?
That does sound nice.
That sounds very sexy.
The thing I want to know is, Neil, is what actually makes one of these things... Which one is going to win, you know? Like, is it just the engine?
There's a lot in the gearing and a lot in the balance of the tractor. Now, the balance is really to do with friction on the rear wheels. If you put too much weight up the front, then you'll end up with the back wheels spinning, no grip. So the design is quite important.
Well, as the man said, design's all important. So the orange team are designing, while Shen's still out hunting down that elusive second wheel.
If we can get some of this out. The more that we can get outboard of the back, the more weight we can put on it.
Because that's what we're going to do.
To keep the back axle down.
What we're planning on putting is a weight tray at the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're going to try and build it reasonably light and then just whack all the weight on the back, yeah?
To make the most efficient power puller, the teams need to concentrate on getting the balance and weight distribution of the machine just right. Because heavy machines are such an advantage in a tug-of-war, we've set an upper limit of 1 tonne. Working out how to distribute this tonne is a critical part of their design. They want to balance the machine so that the weight's all concentrated on the back wheels, which means the chassis will be parallel to the ground and the front wheels just off it. It's a tricky balance to achieve, but if they manage it, it means the full force of the puller is directed straight forward in one line. Rather than wasting that power lifting the front of the machine up or driving the front wheels down into the ground.
Why are we limiting the length of that?
Well, because you want to make it as compact as possible, 2 metres max.
Why compact?
Well, because of the weight. We'll have a job to make it down to 1 tonne.
Really? So I don't know what sort of weight we're talking about, the engine.
This is 300 kilograms. This would be 70 kilograms.
Right. So, we've only got 100 kilograms left when we put all the frame together.
You haven't got a lot left
over. Understood.
So the yellow team are thinking balance, they're thinking weight distribution, but according to Neil, they have a bit of a disadvantage with their manual gearbox. I wonder how John thinks they're going to drive this unruly beast.
We'll have to run that in about second gear. I mean, you won't have time to change gear, so you'll have to just dump the clutch in second gear.
Why would we not
gear.
Want to run it in first gear and give it rooty toot?
Well, because you won't have time to change gear during the pull. Yeah. Rev up the engine to, say, 4,000 or 5,000 revs and just dump the clutch.
Yeah?
Just go for it. Well, take up the slack a bit. Once you can feel it taking up the slack, just dump it.
Dump the clutch at 4,500 revs.
It's down to the skill of the driver in the end, in that sense.
Yeah, the driver is a big key to how well it works.
And you've done this lots of times.
I've done it a few times.
That's a few more than everybody else in the team. That's good for me.
John's a lecturer in farm machine design at Cranfield University, so power pullers aren't really his normal line of business. Unlike the orange team's expert, Mark, who's the UK's 1997 Rover-class power pulling champion. He doesn't think John knows quite what he's let himself in for.
Do you know the other guy as well on the other team?
John? No.
Oh, right.
He's not actually a member of our club.
I know.
He's from Cranfield University. So, actually, John, he's got no idea of what to build.
Really?
He's never ever seen one of these.
So what's he doing here, then?
I don't know. But that should add to our advantage.
For fairness, we've ruled that the experts can't be the drivers in the contest. Instead, one of the regular team members must drive. But Dick and John already seem to have started a mini tug-of-war of their own.
Right, do you just want that cut there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you'll have to hold it, because it's...
No, trust me, I'll do it on the other thing. I'll just put it on the side. Quick.
It don't work. I'll just try it. I can't get through it.
You've got to keep turning it around. Trust me. Yeah, leave it to me. I'll cut it off where it is.
Right, then cut another one off the same.
Hey, Bowser Shen, how's it going?
No, I still haven't found a wheel.
And you've looked absolutely everywhere.
Make a suggestion.
Woo! Oh, yeah!
This is driving me nuts.
While his team have been getting started on a power puller, Captain Dick's been filling the board with unintelligible hieroglyphics.
So what you need to do is to weld the wheel and get that done.
So can you actually understand this? Yeah. Just like that? Yeah. Well, even talking about that, it's pretty awesome.
This is just a tree.
This is right.
A tree here.
You do that bit.
Let's use the welding capability first of all. At the moment, we're... the cutting side, like, Callie's doing that anyway now, so Callie's got that. That's dead easy. On the welding side, you're
Dick
going to
doesn't have these organisational capabilities for nothing. He's an army man, a born leader, and there's nothing in the army manuals about helping out the enemy.
And what are you doing with all your spare wheels? Because the orange team have only got one.
We had this little discussion.
They're making
I think
a unicycle.
Honestly,
they need to look harder. There's no one out there,
is there?
Yeah, I spotted it. I was going to tell them, but I'm not that nice.
And I found it.
Hey!
Excellent!
Where
we got a wheel!
Yeah, but down in the middle of nowhere!
Hoorah! At last they've got all the bits.
So, what is the history of power pulling then?
Well, Bob, the story goes that in Canada, a couple of farmers were having an argument about whose horse could pull the most. And they took a door off a barn, laid it in the farmyard, and coupled it up to a horse. Dragged it across the yard, and all the farmhands jumped on the door. When the horse couldn't pull it any further, they counted the number of people on the door, and of course the horse that could pull the most people was the winner. The natural advent was when tractors came along, they did the same thing. And of course, farmers being farmers, they like a bit of a bet on the side, so this sort of developed. And it actually became a sport in that way, and they actually had the spectators jumping onto the door. But of course, as the tractors got more powerful and the speeds went up, this became extremely hazardous, and it ended up with the number of spectators with broken legs was winning. So,
which is where the term horsepower comes from. But I wonder who's going to be saddling up the orange team stallion.
Yeah, but we can mount the brake pedals. Whoever's driving it,
it's got to be adjusted for Anne's feet.
Yeah. Well, if we put the brake pedals in so that you get maximum, maximum
push
on top of the brake
pedal, I've basically been co-opted on.
We've got to make a decision on this. All in favour of Anne driving, say aye. Aye.
Yeah, but I have the casting vote, and I'm
3-1. You're driving.
You don't get a 3-1 veto.
Yeah, that's 3-1. You're driving.
Oh, okay.
We're at a point now where we can start thinking. With the back wheels are done, we can start thinking about the frame, can't we?
6 hours remaining.
So the steering bit's there.
Dick's working out how the yellow team are going to steer their three-wheeler.
Do a wheelie. If we were to put a plate across the front with a long tiller on it, what's wrong with that? That's the simplest sort of steering we can get, isn't it?
Right, well, you're going to be sitting... Right, I'll show you where you're going to be sitting.
I'm going to be sitting?
But if you're sitting down, that's about as near as your body...
You're
going
to sit down with that thing between your legs?
We sort of bend it off or chop it off or something.
Right, so we've got one hand on the tiller.
That's the biggest and steepest angle you can do, unless you do that.
Well, no, hold on. Hold it out to something comfortable. Hold it out comfortable. Hold it out... No, hold it out... A tiller. That's nice.
A fine talk, but all I can see is a pile of bits.
It may look like bits to you.
I'm only saying this because I care about you and because the orange team have got a car next door, you know.
Have they?
It's already there, yeah.
Does it go...
I haven't seen it move.
Have they got a fixed diff?
They haven't got a fixed diff.
Pah! They haven't got a fixed diff, John.
Fixed diff, eh, Dick? Don't get technical on me now. A diff, or differential, is a gearing system in the centre of the axle, which allows the two wheels to rotate at different speeds. The time a diff is really important is going round corners, because it allows the outside wheel to rotate faster than the inside one, so that the vehicle can go around the corner smoothly. Without a diff, both wheels would rotate at the same speed, so the outside wheel would just bump and skip around. Even though most people have probably never heard of a diff, almost all cars have one, because it's the only way to achieve smooth steering. So how come the yellow team are boasting about having fixed their diff, which basically means they've welded it together so that both wheels rotate at the same speed? I turn to Neil.
Now, the yellow team on the left have locked up their differential. Does that sound like a good idea to you?
In a farm tractor, you have a device called a differential lock built in, and you can switch it in or out. If you get a situation where one wheel is spinning and you lock your differential up, then the back axle turns both wheels equally. In tractor pulling, you're not using the tractor in quite the same mode. And what we look to do is to try and balance the power across the two wheels. If your axle is locked, you are stuck with both wheels travelling at the same speed. Steering can become rather difficult. The point about tractor pulling is that we actually have to compete on a straight track, which is only 10 metres wide. And if you go out the side, then you're disqualified.
Because what's happening with the orange team is that they're steering using their brakes. Is that called skid braking or something? So they'll slow one wheel down. So that's how they're going to steer it. Which presumably they can't do, because they can either slow both wheels down or not at all.
They will have to have conventional steering of turning the front wheel.
Yeah.
Skid steering is perfectly acceptable for tractor pulling, particularly if you've got a fairly powerful tractor, because often the front wheels are hardly on the ground anyway.
The argument in favour of fixing or locking the diff is twofold. First, and most simply, the yellow team think that in a tug of war, they don't really need to steer, but just to pull in a straight line. The second argument is more complicated. Imagine they don't have a lock diff, and one of their wheels loses traction on the ground, because on rough terrain, it's in water, say, or up in the air. The power from the engine all gets directed to that wheel, because it's the path of least resistance. But it's wasted power because that wheel just spins in the air without the vehicle moving at all. With a locked diff, both wheels always spin together, so the good wheel, the one on the ground, still gets some power and maintains some traction, rather than losing all the power from the engine. It's an imperfect science, though, and there's great debate about what's the best solution.
Going.
Lunchtime for the orange team.
Food!
Mark, let's get this straight. I've got a lot of problems with my diffs. What is a locked diff? This is a hot meal. Eat as you talk. Differential. Let's go right back to that. Differential means that your back axle, your two wheels can spin slightly different speeds.
Yeah. If you run with a locked diff, both wheels are trying to turn at the same time, at the same speed. The disadvantage is if you're slightly overgeared, then both wheels are locked in. You can't spin one wheel independently.
Right. So if you're pulling off to one side,
so if you're pulling up,
there's nothing you can do except slow down.
Except slow down. You must back off the throttle.
Right.
But without a lock diff, you can keep on the throttle, hit the brake.
If you slow one wheel down, does that automatically...
You slow one wheel down, it automatically makes the other one go slightly faster. And obviously gives you all the grip on that wheel, which will bring the tractor back to where
you want it to go.
It's meant to be.
So you're really steering with the brakes. You've got your foot hard down on throttle and you're going...
The front's going to be so light anyway.
Yeah,
there's no point putting it steering on.
In the sport, ideally, you do drive on your rear brakes.
Right.
The front don't want to be touching the floor.
Right.
Because obviously you get maximum weight transfer to your rear wheel.
To the back. Now, John completely disagrees with this, you see, next door. He thinks that it's all down to having a lock diff. He's a lock diff fanatic, obviously.
But when they're actually doing tractor pulling nowadays, not many people actually use lock diffs, do they?
Nobody will lose a lock diff.
So what you're saying, basically, is you've got it right and they've got it wrong. This is what I want to hear.
They've got it wrong.
I like it.
Cheers.
Well, I'm wondering, my other little worry is, who's actually going to be driving?
The team captain.
Team captain?
By unanimous vote.
Oh, really?
But no, it wasn't unanimous. I voted against it, yeah, and they voted that I should be driving.
Right.
And when Anne wins,
and I told them I had, leader's prerogative that I was allowed to outrule them, and they said 3-1 wasn't fair,
So you're not trying to run a democracy here, are you? Because, I mean, there certainly isn't one next door. I can tell you that much.
It's actually quite important that you are happy with the way that's coming together, by the way, Dave.
Yes. Yeah,
because actually this is going to be sitting between your legs.
Oh, I'm driving now.
Because it makes a lot of sense. This is your sort of a baby, isn't it?
Big engine.
Yeah, I knew you'd like it. Okay. All this throbbing. I would do it, except for I may be too heavy and we may be up to our one-ton limit. So, you're happy. Kelly,
blissfully.
Dave's volunteered to drive. Please, please let me, he said.
It wasn't exactly how it happened, but...
But you know it makes sense. Good stuff.
Better check my life insurance.
Time to eat.
I do hope you washed your hands before your dinner.
Look at those fingers.
What time is it then? What time is it? What's the time?
Oh, I can't tell you that. That's classified information.
Have to look at the sun.
Look at the sun. Guys, I've got to tell you something. The other team, okay, yeah. I don't want to mention colours, but I think you know the colour I mean. I don't want to mention people. They think you've got it wrong, okay?
This is oh, I know. Real, yeah, I know.
They think that you've got it wrong as regards to the differential. They don't like lock diffs, and they think it's wrong because they think you won't be able to steer. Once the power's down on the floor, you're really thrashing it. Big engine. Boom, like that. If it goes off to one side, they don't reckon there's anything you can do.
Do you think we're really going to need to steer while we're dragging them at 30 miles an hour?
Yeah,
I mean, it's really not going to be an issue, is it?
I figure it's better locked.
Right. And you've got it locked now anyway, because you can't really unlock it, can you?
The bottom line is, it's welded.
Yeah. So, I mean, why do you think it is better to have them locked then, John? I mean, what's your argument against that sort of spinning off and not being able to steer?
Well, the answer is you won't be able to steer it very well anyway, because the front will be off the ground.
Right.
In any case. So you want both wheels to slip the same amount.
Yeah.
And if they don't, well, if the soil is uniform and the track's uniform, it should both spin together.
Yeah.
We're going to go in second gear.
Right.
With wheels that size, it'll probably do, it would, without the wheel slipping, it'll probably go about 60 miles an hour, maybe 70 miles an hour.
Right. Yeah. So, John, I mean, you think the young pup next door in the orange team, you reckon he's got it wrong?
He's probably got a reasonable design.
I must say, John, you've been a lot more polite about him than he has about you. Very, very decorous. No,
not well, bothered. That's right. Not bothered.
Doing a set.
Hey Bob, you got your best side, have you?
Kind of balance do you go for then in a normal competition? I mean, do you actually want the front wheels off the ground?
Or well, the balance is actually very critical in tractor pulling as a sport. The ideal is to get no weight on the front wheels, but not have them actually off the ground, which is almost impossible to achieve.
Yeah.
But we reckon that if you've got your front wheels about an inch off the ground, then you've got all your weight on the rear wheels.
Now, I was talking to John earlier on. He was talking about the fact that the wheels are going to, you know, although the vehicle isn't going to be moving anything like that fast, the wheels are going to be spinning, he reckons, at about something like 60 miles an hour. Like, the wheels are skidding like mad. And is that all right?
It's a very interesting theory, this. With tractor pulling, you can either lug, where you actually use the cleats of the tyres at low speed to grip into the ground. But what we found was, when you lug, that you reach a point where the tractor won't go any further forward, and it just digs big holes. So the tractor pulling fraternity, they actually developed this system of what we call friction pulling. And we spin the wheels very fast, or try to. And the theory is that little piece of earth that is shaved off by these fast spinning wheels is being forced backwards at about sort of 60 miles an hour. And physics says that it won't go backwards without there being an equal and opposite force. So we spin the wheels, skid them, and strangely enough, get better pulling.
As Neil says, the way power pullers pull is a bit surprising. I'd have thought the best way was to sit heavily on the ground with maximum grip and just pull very slowly and surely. A bit like someone pulling a reluctant dog when it sits refusing to be moved. But the surprising thing is that in power pulling, the wheels don't just turn slowly and lug in this way, but actually spin at great speed, the equivalent of more than 100 miles an hour if the vehicle were moving. It's called friction pulling, and how it works is the wheels just shave off tiny slivers of earth, which are flung out behind the machine. The action of the earth being shaved off and flung backwards results in the machine being pushed forward with considerable force. It's not only a very efficient way of pulling, but also makes for an impressive spectacle.
What's next? You put the wheel on? Put the wheels on.
We're going to weld the two wheels on.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's things like putting the battery on, putting the seat on, doing the brakes, throttle.
And you're still driving it? That's all happening, is it?
We've got to discuss that, you know.
Are you going to discuss that, have you?
Yes, yes.
That's not been finally settled on.
But he doesn't know about this.
He doesn't know yet.
We'll let him to enjoy
it. You know the whole driving thing?
Yes.
Do you know who's doing it?
Yes.
Who?
Am.
No.
Yes.
No, mate.
Yes.
No, mate. I've heard different. Executive decision.
But we had a vote earlier on. Democracy in action.
And I'm pulling rank, yeah?
She's pulling rank. She's captain of the team.
Yeah, well, she seems to think that the heavier the driver, the better.
The more traction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've read the books about it, and that's true. It is true.
You see, what I reckon it requires a woman's delicate touch, you see, on the controls.
No. I'll agree with you there, Ant. I think you ought to drive it, Bowser.
Well, you're the expert. So you're
No, it's two against one now.
So you're a bit scared, are you, Bowser? Is that the thing?
Oh, really?
No, exactly.
Oh, really?
He's a bit chicken about it.
Yeah, right, OK.
Is this really safe? He's going to drive. OK.
That's it, I'll drive. I'll take all sorts of abuse, but I'm not taking that.
Excellent.
Very cunning tactics from Captain Ann there. But I thought I'd find out from Dick where he learned his captaining skills.
Right. Have you been in the army a long time? I mean,
I suppose so. I was commissioned in 78. I was wrong, 79. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went to Sandhurst in 78. So,
right. God, you went to Sandhurst and did all that stuff with you. And you got all shiny uniforms and stuff like that. Well, just because I see you like this, you know.
Yeah, well, kind of... this is not the norm. In fact, when people see me looking like this, it could be really quite worrying.
Tell me about the team. I mean, Dave, how's he going? Is he all right?
He's a grafter, isn't he?
Is he?
Oh,
he is,
seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He gets
no, you'll
it.
See. And welding, we definitely get a pound of flesh. Yeah. The fact that if you stay still, you get welded with it's a bit worrying, so we tend to be on the move.
What about Kelly? How's Kelly doing?
She's getting stuck in. She wants to do everything, which is great. Yeah. And when you send her out scavenging, you're never quite sure what's going to come back. It's when you see junk and bring it back and all of a sudden it's making a bracket or it's making a drive shaft or something.
Yeah, that's what's great.
It is important.
Yeah. You seem to drive your team with...
It's competition, which is great.
Yeah.
And let's not be too shy. The divots live on the other side here, and we're really quite keen to get on with it. And we're in the yellow team, and so...
I know you don't like to be shy, Dick.
The team want to win.
They really, really want to win. But over the wall, Bowser's having his first fitting on his bespoke power puller.
It's a bit low down, that, isn't it?
Have a try.
Sit in there, man.
It does sag, you know.
If we run,
can we put a strengthening bar across it?
Well, can do.
Right. I reckon brakes there.
Only reason it sags is because 130 kilograms or something like that.
Like that. Because I think feet would be far easier for braking. And then I've got to have something for...
Control.
Gears.
Yeah, we haven't gears. Well, not gears, but you know what I mean? Neutral.
We've got to be able to find neutral, haven't I?
As Dick mentioned, Dave's ever the keen welder, but never so keen as since he was volunteered as driver. The seating area is coming in for particularly special attention.
I'm fairly happy about the safety of my wedding tackle.
Now, what we've got to do is we've got to make the safety box around this part.
Yeah.
How's it go?
Because I appear to be sitting right on top of it now.
It's not going to get any more comfy, I'm afraid.
I'm blissfully happy. I'm going to drive a death trap.
Driving a death trap in more ways than one at this rate.
Dick?
Yo!
Some water, please.
Water? How much?
Enough to put a fire out.
Okay. Callie, is this water? Right, where do you want it?
On the flames.
put it on the flames, you see.
Any more flames? That's all right, that seat's on. Right.
That's a hot seat, isn't it? Sorry, I had to say that.
Laugh, I almost did.
That's not going anywhere.
No.
Oh, I mean, no, just the seat isn't going anywhere in regards to the vehicle, which obviously will be going everywhere.
Put it on.
Don't get comfy there, mate. Got no time for that.
1 hour remaining. And then we'll just put a bar in underneath it, eh?
With a hammer.
That is a great steering wheel. Look at that.
Needs a bit of that.
Be good. Be good exercise, though.
While the yellow team are struggling to get their machine finished, the orange team are feeling confident enough to be sitting nattering.
That's looking pretty good. What sort of throttle are we going to have? How are we going to operate it?
That way.
Lever again.
We just run the cable round,
mm-hmm.
Just put a pivot on the floor.
It would be a bit difficult trying to operate the gear change and the throttle and
funny.
Both the brakes. Which one do I pull next?
The trouble is, the funny bit will be you're sitting on there with no steering wheel.
I had a glimpse of this, which I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But I had a glimpse. Just fleeting glimpse, peripheral glimpse.
Do you have a single wheel up the front?
You had a glimpse too.
I did have a little sneaky look there, yes.
You couldn't have guessed that otherwise.
No.
They're going. They're steering off the front wheel.
Yeah.
It won't work.
It won't work if it's not on the ground. There's
well, no, it won't work because I locked the diff.
Yeah. When it's on gravel, it might not be so bad with a locked diff. It might just slide.
Mm, that's the trouble. It will just slide.
And then we pull them.
We're going to kick some major yellow butt tonight. It's not a problem.
So have you got any driving tips for Dave?
Any driving tips?
Yeah, driving tips, yeah.
Yeah, driving tips.
Yeah.
So when you actually get going, you basically what you do, you put it in second gear, you rev the engine up to 4,000 or 5,000 revs, and you let the clutch in real fast.
Right.
And that spins up the wheels, and the front jumps, and off you go.
Yeah.
And you hold on tight.
You hold on very tight.
Yeah.
As you rock it along.
Let me get up and put...
Bowser's second fitting, this time to break in the brakes.
Come on, me.
I'd watch that gear stick if I were you.
Yeah, I'd be very careful with that gear stick.
So brakes are working well then. Is it worth trying to put the seat in? Oh. I think so.
That's not the cable.
That's not the cable?
These brakes are going to be a bit of a problem. I bet you they're seized up in the hub.
Ah.
Don't know.
Sugar. Right. We can't even get them apart, can we? Have we welded bits onto them?
No, we can get them apart.
Right,
but we don't really want to spend time taking them apart.
Do the cable again. Just put that through again, bolt it through. All right. We now know that I can put more pressure on than I can exert with the brakes. We'll just try just in the brakes.
Mm.
And it will work.
Yeah. Orange team? They seem to be beavering away on foot pedals on the side.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. They look good. Because they've got to have brakes, of course, orange team, because they're going
to
use them
to steer. Use that to steer, yeah.
Crunch time is getting
it is,
closer.
It is, but yellow team seem to thrive on a lot of panicky welding, as they would say. They love a bit of panicky welding at the end of the day.
To be perfectly honest, you know, that is almost street legal, that.
I'd like to go shopping in it.
Well, that'd be wonderful, yeah.
So now, if you were going to brief the drivers on how to drive this thing, what would your brief be?
We always say the first 10 metres is actually the crunch.
Right. So it's not like an arm wrestle in that respect.
No.
But even though that one has more power and more traction,
once it's going backwards, say, would it still not make it up, you don't think?
No. In a tug-of-war syndrome, you'd be very hard pushed, because once the grip has been lost and you've not got that forward motion, then you're fighting two fronts, effectively. Yeah.
Once you're gone, you're gone.
Yeah, so it's going to be some tactics.
Yeah, there will, won't there?
3 minutes remaining.
Turning into a total disaster.
At this critical stage, Dick's having a bit of trouble rousing his troops.
How are you doing, John? How far off are you? Moments? John, where do you want the water? Where do you want the water put in? John, water. We haven't got long. Hey, listen, we're going to either put it in now or we're not going to because we're going to start it up. John.
Take this to bits. There'll just be a spring in here. Take the spring off and the butterflies will stay flat.
Ah, right, gotcha.
Under scrutiny from the whole team, Mark's making some final adjustments to their engine.
What was the vibration from?
Just one of the metal plates.
Okay. Oh. Did you just drop something in there?
Yes, I did. Screw.
Is that two screws in there?
No, that's just one screw, and if it goes in any further, we've had it. In fact, it is two screws.
Just two screws in the carburetor, enough to incapacitate the whole machine. This is serious.
We can always take the car apart. Not in 5 minutes, yeah.
No. 10 minutes remaining.
Okay, right, that's done. No more missed minutes. We're in neutral. We're going to have to get it started up now because that's us finished. Kill switch is in position. Yeah, well, we're going to just turn it on, make sure we've got it ticking. Right, ready to turn it on.
Are we ready to go now?
Yeah, we got to. Right, that'll do. I'll do. That'll do.
It's make or break time for the orange team.
Yeah, we've got a magnetic.
If they can't get those screws out, the whole day has been a waste of effort.
There's both of them out, isn't
there?
Yep. Yep, looks good to me.
Okay.
Dick's keen to start the engine to check their emergency kill switch is working. I can't think why the driver's looking nervous, except that the only car Dave's ever owned is a Morris Marina.
Come on, baby.
Should be sucking air in there. I wanted to see if that worked, yeah. That's more important that works than most things.
Now time to see if the orange team's monster sounds as good as she looks.
Right. Hit it.
This thing is good. It's good.
Woo! Switch it off.
The sun has set. Time has elapsed.
Oh, God.
That's right, isn't it?
Woo! Woo! Yeah! Kick it!
That's it. That's it, my little tin heads. The sun has set. You've done wonders. Now, I want to know what the names of both your vehicles are. And what's your name?
It's the Great Aturn.
The Great Aturn?
Yeah.
What do we call this time?
This is Eat My Shorts.
Eat My Shorts versus the Great Aturn. There's only one thing left to do, and that is the big tug of war.
And so the fruits of their labours, Eat My Shorts and the Great Aturn. For those unfamiliar with Terry Pratchett, it's the name of a turtle, apparently. And like any heavyweight contest, we start with the weigh-in. To make sure neither vehicle exceeds the one-ton limit, Neil's brought along his power puller proportion scales.
Time for the great weigh-in. In the yellow corner, we have Dave in Eat My Shorts. What's the weight there, Neil?
And it's 864 kilograms.
864.
That's a more.
What do you think then, Dick? You're going to increase your weight?
That's very comfy, Dave. You'll enjoy that.
Yeah, you've got a lump of concrete. Okay, let's try that now.
That was a heavy piece of concrete. We're now just on the 900 kilograms.
Yeah, that'll do that. Okay, roll it off now. Roll it off now and we'll get on with the next one.
Push.
Right, in the orange corner we have Bowser on the Great Aturn. Let's see what that weighs.
875 kilos. Oh, yeah.
So you're going to increase the weight then, Anne? What do you think?
Yes. No, we're not going to increase the weight. We're going to run it as it is.
Run it as it is. There we go. There's confidence for you.
When battle commences in the best of three tug of war, Dave, for the yellow team, will be pulling 25 metres toward the Phoenix. If he crosses that line, he's won. His opponent, Bowser, for the orange team, has to pull 25 metres to the Iron Maiden in order to win.
And so to the final reckoning. Colossus versus Colossus, Goliath versus Goliath. Gentlemen, warm up your engines!
Ready? With those manual gears, but Bowser's having a little bit of throttle trouble. Bowser's engine is misfiring. Oh! Yes! Oh, they made that look easy. First blood to yellow.
Well, such is life. We'll have another go.
You beauty!
Oh,
how'd you like that,
you
then?
Rock,
oh, that was really brilliant.
Well, so that was 1 point to the yellows.
Yeah.
It's the best of three tonight, all right, oranges. Don't give up yet. You're in with a chance. Everybody ready? Let's get set up again.
Come on, guys. Give it a bit of welly, mate.
Bowser and the oranges have tweaked their engine. They think they've got it right now. They really need this one.
There you go, Bowser.
No second places, buddy.
All right, here we go. Ready for the second pull. Okay, start your engines.
Bowser's got it back! Absolutely neck and neck stuff. Diff or no diff, three wheels or four, manual versus automatic, it's a power puller's ballet! Now that's what I call friction pulling! Ah. There's water pipes burst! The engine's cut out! Nice one, Orange! One all! And don't they look pleased?
We got him! Yes. We got him!
Yes! Yes!
Brilliant!
Dave, tell us now, what's it feel like to be dragged backwards, mate? I mean, you know, you're holding it there beautifully.
Exactly balanced there, and then our water pipe burst and all over the electrics, the engine packed up.
So there's not a lot you can do. So it's just a little ride backwards, and that was very nice.
Like, oh, well, here we go.
That was absolutely brilliant. I just don't know how
it's possible
to make two tractors so exactly balanced and so different. Yeah. That was brilliant.
Brilliant, buddy. One more. Just one more.
It's one all. Dave Bowser, this is sudden death! Start your engines!
Come on, baby! Come on! Come on! All right!
Has blown up! It's gone! It's gone! The yellow team have won!
Oh man, that was brilliant!
Lucky, mate.
Never mind, Dan.
We did a good one.
No, we did a good one, mate. That second one was fine.
It was smart.
Yeah.
Blimey,
I've got a feeling. That the yellow team won.
Yes!
I don't know what tells me that. The fact that you went about 60 miles an hour down the thing and drove into a pile of rubble. Oh, my God.
Well done.
Well done, Bowser. Woo! You were close.
Well done, Bowser. Good effort, matey.